And my text this morning is from the book of Jonah. And the book of Jonah, and we are going to start a series of three lessons that we could learn from the story of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, let's read from Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. A well-known story, but let me read it and then we pray. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You heard me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your side. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bare me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. But I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." Shall we say that together, the words in red? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. We pray that this 20, 25 minutes we're about to spend together, may your Holy Spirit be among us so we can learn something from you. Into your hands we place our time together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. There are some people who will ridicule this story. They will say it's a children's tale. Other people will ridicule the story of the Easter story, the resurrection. There will be some people who will say, well, it's quite nice. I grew up in a Christian family and I like the song. So that's the reason why Easter, the churches will be full. Praise the Lord, we still have that sometimes. Christmas, they will be full, some of them. But is that all about? Just to sing, just to hear stories? If that's all that you can hear today, just to sing a few songs or hear a story, we are missing the true meaning of Easter. And today, I just want to, this is the last Sunday in April. The first Sunday we celebrate what? Easter. And we have a wonderful service here. Now we are going to finish reflecting upon the Easter story again, but using the story of Jonah. 2,500 years, something like that. But there are some lessons that we can learn from this story. Perhaps you heard that story when you were at Sunday school, or maybe in your school. But Jesus himself used this story. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 4, he says, "As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So Jesus compared the resurrection with this story. So that's what we are going to do today. So I invite you to go into the 2,500 years ago, and the story starts by being thrown into the sea. And maybe you are not familiar with the story of Jonah. Jonah just finished inside this big fish just because he just was swimming, and then he just was swallowed up by a large fish. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was supposed to do something. The Lord told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and tell them to repent." That's it. Tell them to repent. That was what Jonah was told. But there was a problem. Nineveh, the people living there, it was the capital of Israel, arch rivals, the Babylonians. So Jonah said, "No way I'm going there. These are horrible people. They are heathens. They don't care about anything. They will kill me." So he said, I'm off. So he's going the other way. So he ran, boarding a ship at Joppa to go the exact opposite way to Tarsus, way over in Spain. That's the story, how the story starts. So the prophet, somebody say, hang up his tongue, said, no, I'm off. What a dangerous thing to do, to be against God's will. What is it that Jonah was told to do? Preach repentance. That's it. Preach repentance. And I will do the rest. But the Lord was not going to let Jonah go easily. So Jonah, he's sleeping in that boat, in the bottom of that boat. And the Lord sent a huge storm. So, now, the sailors, they were used to everything. You know, when you are sailing, when, you know, I have the privilege to serve in the Navy almost 18 years. So you know the wind, something. You start, those fishermen, they know. Said, this is quite strange here. That storm was not normal. So they asked Jonah, what is this all about? And then Jonah says, pick me. He realized that it was his fault. He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea. He replied, and it will become calm. And I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. That's how our story starts. Now, the problem for Jonah is that he is in the middle of the Mediterranean, in the middle of the sea. And that's how the reading we have this morning starts. He's there. And he starts describing. He said, you hurl me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers sweat over me. And he says something. He says, I have been banished. I have been banished. Not your presence. And this is Jonah swimming, trying to be okay, but he has been horrendous while he was trying kicking and but he is weaker and weaker, and he's going down and down. But you know what is the worst feeling for Jonah? Not the physical problem, shame. He feels shame. He knew that he had done something wrong. One Christian psychologist call it shame as the hemorrhage of the soul. Shame. When you know you are doing something wrong, that you are doing something wrong, and you don't want to accept it, and in silence, they kill you. Let me give you an example. That, for example, you are married, and then you are working, and you are having an affair, and then suddenly you are driving back home, and I don't wish that for you to happen, and then your car goes into the Menai. I know, okay, no, I will not have that. Or another sea, okay. Another river. And then you are going down and down, and you know that you have been wrong. Shame. Or maybe you have been doing something wrong at work. Or, you know, shame inside your life. Shame, a Christian psychologist call it the hemorrhage of the soul. I have been banished. My friend, it's difficult to come back when we are in sin. And you sing again, you sing him. Some of you know that I am praying for one of my friends who was a lovely Christian, but now he's away from church. You know what keeps him away? Shame. Now, if you think that you imagine, this is Jonah. You know, he's experiencing hell. But now Jesus said, it's like Jonah, the story of Jonah. This is Jesus in Gethsemane. We sang that song today. So thank you for, during the worship, we sang about that. Jesus knows that he's about to die. In Gethsemane, he's praying. He said, oh, my Father, please, I don't want this. And we read in the Bible that he was praying. He said, please, take this cup away from me. He is going through hell. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6 says that Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world, the scapegoat. He said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what happened to Jesus when he said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? He quoted the psalm that we are going to be reflecting upon this evening. Before Jesus ever rose from the dead, we need to remember that he was there in the darkness for 3 days. Jonah was thrown into the sea of agony. Jesus was thrown into the sea of agony. What happened to Jonah? Well, first, he's thrown into the sea. He continues with prayer. Jonah sunk down to the bottom of the lake. His pride was not there anymore. In despair, he could not continue with this attitude that said, no, I know more than God. And why you God going to do that? He says in verse 2 says, he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah turns back to the faithful God. He turned back to the God he knew was going to answer his prayer. He remembered what God's word said about the Lord. The word of Jonah refers to God as his Lord. He remembered the psalm. He's quoting a psalm. He said, Lord, you can save me. Okay, I did it wrong. You can save me. Maybe I was right. These people are horrible. Maybe they are going to kill me. I know they're going to do it. But he said, Lord, in my distress, I call them to you. Now, that's exactly what Jesus did. When he was on the cross, what he says, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. So Jonah did it. Jesus did it. Jesus was a human, 100% human when he went to the cross, 100% God. That's what we believe, that mystery. So he's saying, I don't want to do this, but into your hands I commit my spirit. When you go into surgery, you entrust your life into the doctor's hands. I have been there. Please make sure I wake up. I have to tell them. When you are traveling on holidays, you entrust your life into the pilot or not. You don't know what kind of pilot is taking you from one place, particularly when you travel 15 or 16 hours on the air. I hope that he's okay. Or she's okay. But there's something more wonderful is our soul, who you are going to entrust your soul. It is wonderful that we celebrate in Easter the resurrection. But we need to remember this, that before the Easter, what is before Easter? Good Friday. We have the cross. And at some point, sometimes we feel like that, who you are going to trust. I remember a friend who came to church and he had a problem with alcohol. He was 40 years old, drinking a lot, and now he was coming to church. He said, I want to change. He said he was in AA. He was doing all sort of things, nothing worked. It took him 3 years to be clean, but he was faithful in the church. He said, I'm going to trust that God will do it. And he went through a lot, my friends. It was hard to see him trembling after the second year because he said, I'm not drinking anything. He got it. You know why? Because he trusts in whom? Jesus Christ. Jonah trust. Jesus trust. In the Father. Jonah says in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be there. Sometimes we trust in something else. Jonah says, trust in God. He said, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make a good salvation come from the Lord. Shall we say it together? Jonah is telling you and telling me, don't trust in your worthless idols. Don't think the doctor can save your soul. Don't trust your medication. Don't think that you can ignore your own guilt. There is something that has to be addressed in your life. There is something have to be addressed in my life so I can live the life God wants me to live. So Jonah said, salvation comes from the Lord. And he says, like a seaweed that simply slowly wraps around your head, hell, death, it will come to torment you. Don't forfeit that grace that is yours. Recognize that this Jesus who faced death and hell did it for you. Something that you don't deserve. The Apostle Paul put it in a very simple way in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. Said, but now apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, the righteousness is given through faith in who? In Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's not about religion. It's not about liturgy. It's nothing but Jesus Christ and faith. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Jonah, you need to go and preach to people in Nineveh. They are horrible people. You need to go and preach. What? Repentance. Because for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by the grace and through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. This is the promise of our Lord. Do you believe that? Salvation comes from the Lord. And now, I conclude, you know, this very short story. We have three Sundays to reflect upon Jonah. But this part concludes with hope in the belly. Jonah's prayer was heard because his prayer was so bold, but because his Lord was so faithful. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me from the depths of the grave. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. And the final verse, you know, that we just repeat and repeat, they said, salvation comes from the Lord. Charles Spurgeon says that Jonah, I like this, Jonah learned this sentence. Shall we say it together? Salvation. Now, Charles Spurgeon said, Jonah learned this sentence of good theology in a strange college. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. God delivered Jonah from drowning by having him be swallowed by a huge fish. Imagine what was the life of Jonah. Jonah, I don't know you, when I was teaching Sunday school, they have Jonah inside the belly sitting on a chair with air conditioning and watching TV. I don't believe that. and as you know, it could be smelly. Mucus inside his body. That's the reality. Little creatures there hanging around and nasty. But he's able to reflect a little bit. But, you know, he, in spite of that rebellion, the Lord is faithful and gave him a second chance. He can give you a second chance, my friend, in a third one, in a fourth one. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation rests not upon our arms and our own abilities, our own religion, but on the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from the Lord. Now, Jesus knew that it was just Jonah he was going to spend 3 days, and he was, you know, many in the Bible we read of some people who went to hell, you know, and then we have the story of Abraham, you know, talking to the rich man and Lazarus. But Jesus come back. And that's what we celebrate in Easter. I can go to visit the tomb of Muhammad and he's there. His remains are there. Buddha. I go to the garden tomb and he's and then. That is our hope. And in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22, said, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruit of those who have been falling asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all make alive. Salvation comes from the Lord. As I conclude this morning, there are voices out there that said that we need to be a little bit more politically correct. We need to be careful. What is the message? Salvation. Come from the Lord. I have the privilege this week, somebody received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he said, what can I do? My friend, salvation comes from the Lord, and we pray together. But I haven't this problem. Salvation comes from the Lord. We as a church, that's the message we are going to be preaching. That we need to surrender our lives completely to Jesus. And he will heal my marriage. He will help my in my job, my family. Salvation comes from the Lord. Maybe the reality is we are living in this filthy world. Dark. This person says, in the past I didn't believe in God because all the injustice in the world. But that's not reality. The Lord wants to save you. He can do it. Are you going to trust your doctor, AA, the government, to bless you? For us as a Christian, we know that we are living perhaps in hell because the world is so dark. But like Jonah, may the Lord help you to pray, Lord, this is my life. We know that God has forgiven us. We also know where God's grace is taking us. To the shores of heaven one day. That is why we enjoy Easter so much, because we know we will not be living in this filthy world forever. We will not be living in this dark world forever. We will not be living in this unjust world forever. Because Jesus lived, one day we will rise from the dead to live with a resurrected body, face to face with our Lord, because salvation comes from the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for that person this morning, that like Jonah feel shame, or like Jonah is proud or she's proud. Pride. And sometimes we think we know more than God. Jonah thought that he knew more than God. And we say, we are this way. I want you to change. Father, thank you for your word this morning that says salvation comes from the Lord. And like Jonah, help us to surrender our lives completely to you so we can have a second chance, a third chance, because you are a faithful and loving and merciful God. And help us, Lord, to do your will in our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.